It's wonderful that we have a song that ties directly into the scriptures in which we are speaking about today. Both of them were written by Luke, the physician. Acts 1 is talking about Jesus appearing to the disciples and tell them to stay where you are until the Spirit comes upon you. Acts 1:1-11. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he has chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proof, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know about the times or periods that my Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why are you standing looking up towards heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. The second scripture lesson is taken from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus is speaking to them, saying, Then he said to them, These are my words I have spoken to you while I was still with you, and that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and arise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sin is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father has promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. The word of God to the people of God.
Amen. 40 days after the resurrection is the day of ascension. That's what it's called. And 40 days from Easter was last Thursday. And sometimes this Sunday is called Ascension Sunday because it follows that day. Now this year, as you know, Ascension Sunday coincides with the Sunday before Memorial Day. And this Sunday also is another Sunday to make note of, because this Sunday today marks my last Sunday here at Wesley Memorial. Now, it would be, I suppose, possible to take all of those things and kind of speak to them and make some sort of a coherent sentence about them, and I actually think I could do that. But there is something else that occupies our minds, and tragically so, and it was, as Jack alluded to, the shooting that occurred in Uvalde, Texas. 19 elementary age children in a classroom along with two teachers. There were others wounded, including some of the first responders. For better or for worse, that's on our minds. And probably so because it is now the third in fairly close proximity of these kinds of tragic events. One in New York in a shopping center, one in California in a Presbyterian church, and then this one in Texas in an elementary school. All different locations, all in a different setting, but the same result. Tragically so. Now, several weeks ago, even before Palm Sunday, when I was looking ahead, none of those things obviously had occurred, but kind of the way that we've been doing things is I give some things well ahead, and I got to looking at the scripture those many weeks ago for today, for Ascension Sunday, and I decided that it would be an interesting thing to do to take the reading from Acts and the reading from Luke, the telling of the same event, one from a gospel, one from the book of Acts. Now, the one from the gospel, that's Jesus' final words before he departs. Now, remember, the gospel has told us the whole sweep, the whole story of Jesus, and the very, very end of the gospel, which was I did not include in the reading that you heard, the very last statement of the gospel finds the disciples who have been told by Jesus to remain in Jerusalem, remaining in Jerusalem, and they are in the temple continually blessing God. Now that's a nice way for Luke to conclude the gospel, because he's gone through this whole sweep, and he has given us this scene of the disciples in the temple praising God, which resonates with us because that's something that we can understand. We gather for worship to recognize God's coming as Jesus Christ, to praise God for all of those things that Jesus did. It's the promise of what Luke writes about at the very beginning of his gospel, with the visions to Mary and to Joseph and to Zechariah and the telling of the birth of Jesus, all of those events that we celebrated in Advent. And now here's his conclusion, which is a almost an invitation to join and to celebrate God's work in Jesus Christ, crucified and risen and Lord and the one who gives his saving action to the world. Luke, writing that as the concluding scene of the gospel, gives us the opportunity to recognize God's work continues in the church. It's an invitation, as I said, for us to join in that celebration. But Acts is different. Now keep in mind, same writer, Luke, the quote-unquote beloved physician, as he is called by Paul, is the writer of both the gospel and of the book of Acts. Both of those are directed to Theophilus, which literally translated means lover of God. It could be an actual name, but it could be a generic title for anyone who loves God. But just like we would do, you've done this. You've told some story and you've told it in different settings and it comes out differently. And it depends on where you are. It depends on who's listening. It depends on the whole context, and that's what Luke is doing. Just like you would tell a story, same story, same basic story, but with slightly different details in a different situation, so that's what Luke does. Now, in the gospel, the ascension is the conclusion. That's the end. But in Acts, the ascension is the beginning. And Luke adds something. He adds a detail. Rather than the gospel ending with those disciples in the temple praising God, Luke says, while he was going, while Jesus was going, suddenly there were two men there. They addressed the disciples. Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking toward heaven? Jesus has been taken up from you in heaven. We'll come again the same way. Now, we shouldn't get worked up over the fact that this speech is in Acts, but not in Luke. Luke is a good writer. Good writers are very thoughtful about the way that they write. And Luke picks and chooses the items that he wants to include in his narration because of a larger purpose. And while the disciples in the temple praising God is a fitting conclusion to the gospel, it's a note of reflection, a note of celebration. But in Acts, it's a beginning. In Acts, we're being told there's more to come. It's almost leaving things deliberately unsettled. Sometimes we need to live with that sense. So the picture that Luke draws in Acts, they're the disciples standing there. It's a wonderful picture. You can see them with their mouths hanging open. And you can almost hear them saying what any one of us would say whenever we saw something pretty amazing. We would say, wow, or oh my, or did you see that? There's a phrase in one of Charles Wesley's hymns. It's love divine, all loves excelling, and he ends it, lost in wonder, love, and praise. And that's the word of the disciples are. They're just sort of lost in all of it. Well, then Luke says, here comes along an angel to prod them along. See, there is a time for being lost in wonder, love, and praise. There's a time for that. But there's also a time to do something more. In fact, it's good for us to read this because sometimes we need to be prodded as well. We can easily get lost in that phrase, wonder, love, and praise. We can get lost in it and we can concentrate on the completion of the kingdom of God, and that's actually what the hymn is about. Wesley says in his hymn, till in heaven we take our place, lost in wonder, love, and praise. In heaven, we don't really get to be lost in wonder, love, and praise till we get to heaven. Instead, when we're not in heaven, we've got work to do. And heaven help us if we've not done all that we can do and Jesus comes back. Jesus actually talked about that. That was a way that he had of prodding the disciples to recognize that they were going to have to be doing something. He tells them this. He tells them this in many ways if they would just listen. I mean, it's right here even in this scene as Luke describes it. Jesus has been giving instructions. He's talking to the disciples. But wait, did you catch it? Luke switched terms. He doesn't call them disciples in Acts. He calls them apostles. Disciples are followers. That's what the word disciple means. Apostles are the ones who are sent out. That's a subtle change of phrase, but it's really important. In the gospel, they're disciples. They're following Jesus. They're listening to Jesus. They go where Jesus goes. They hear his teachings. They see his signs. They go with him into Jerusalem the final week. They're with him during the week. They follow as long as they can follow until they can't be followers anymore. They abandon Jesus at the cross. But now, following the resurrection, Jesus brings them back together, that restores them, but not as just mere disciples, as apostles, as people with a mission, as people who are put into action. But one of them's not ready for that. That doesn't say which one. It says they all sort of asked, but doesn't say exactly which one voiced it. This pitiful little question. Is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? I don't think that that's a question asked out of faith. I think that's a question almost asked out of laziness. And to be perfectly honest, I resonate with that because given my own way and my own ability, I love to be lazy. I've got a little house out in the yard. And I tell Carla, I'm going out to my house. A lot of times what that means is I'm going out there to lay on the couch and take a nap. Well, Jesus isn't going to fall for this. When are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? It's none of their business. And he tells them that. The purpose of the resurrection is not so that you can sit back and just rest and take a nap and wait. Jesus told stories about that. Remember the story about the talents and what Jesus had to say about the one guy who buried his talent? Take it away from him. He's so lazy, he can't even get up off of his couch to take it to the bank. He just buries it. He says, it is not for you to know the times or the periods. And then he turns it right back around on them, telling them what they're supposed to do. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It's like he's saying to them, it's time for you to stop thinking that you are mere disciples. You are apostles, and you need to act like it. Sometimes maybe that's a lesson we need to hear. Disciples can sit back and think over the words, and disciples can deal with thoughts and prayers. Disciples can look and see what a terrible tragedy it is and how we should think about all of these people and how wonderful it is to be saved and maybe sing a song and make us all feel a little bit better. Apostles are supposed to do something. We have an apostolic faith. It tells us we are to do something about the things that we see that are wrong in the world. The things that we call out as evil. Well, a culture that is in love with guns, especially guns that are meant to kill as many people as quickly as possible, a culture in love with that is a culture that's in love with something that's evil. It's an evil idea. A culture that is comfortable electing leaders who do nothing is a culture that has become satisfied with the evil of the status quo. But even to the theological point, as the disciples were told, so us. It's time for us to stop looking up to heaven with our mouths hanging wide open in hope for a future of ease and to start looking around us to see what's close at hand. The Jerusalem. What's going on right in our immediate area? Then to look further. Judea and Samaria. To look at our state and our nation. And then finally, not to forget, it goes to the ends of the earth to be witnesses for Jesus Christ, to be those who ourselves embody the goodness and the grace and the love and the repentance and the forgiveness and the peace that Jesus proclaims, what Jesus gave his life to do. This week, Bishop Thomas Bickerton, who is the president of the United Methodist Council of Bishops, wrote a statement, and he issues a direct call for those of us who are to be witnesses this week. This is what he wrote. Determine today how you will take the faith you nurture each week in the pews to the streets, the places where you work, the homes where you live. If you're a church body, don't settle for just active shooter training. Determine that you will actively work to transform lives from violence to peace. Elect officials that will not settle for inaction, and inject communities with the grace and love of Christ that will alter the course of our current behaviors. It's not just simply celebrating the gospel that we have been given. This is spreading the gospel that we have been given. The apostles gave themselves to that purpose of spreading the gospel because they finally came to understand, under the power of the Holy Spirit and the guiding of the Spirit, that they were to get to work. The work of being the church. Instead of standing around and looking, they got up and went out and did. In doing this, the apostles set the direction for the church. That's why Luke writes the book of Acts. The choice of the title is not at all a coincidence. The church is to act, to do things. There's the work of the church in every generation. We are not merely followers as the disciples. We are also the representatives of Jesus in the world as the apostles were. We have work to do. We have issues of justice to proclaim. We have suffering in the world to address. We have hungry to feed. We have children to care for. We have sick to tend to. We have reconciliation between warring factions to pursue. We have repentance and forgiveness to announce. And in all of these things, we have a God to glorify. In January of 2021, I came here and I said then that I was going to tell to Wesley the first thing I told Wesley, the last thing that I told the church I had been in Abingdon. Different context, different setting. One was an end, one was a beginning. Now, as I go to Elizabethton, it is only fitting that I do the same thing. As I said those months ago, it is not about me. It's about Jesus. We glorify God through Jesus Christ when we hear His words, when we do the work He gives us to do as the church, when we start from where we are, and we go from there. We have been here together in worship to bless God for all that God has done in Jesus Christ. Now we depart. We all depart from here to do the work we are called to do, wherever we're called to do it. We don't just stand about looking up to heaven or around at each other. Instead, we are sent out. We are sent out to depart, to be the witnesses who do the work that Jesus gives us to do. Here's a prayer for today. Almighty God, your blessed Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, ascended far above all heavens, that He might fill all things. Mercifully give us faith to perceive His teachings, to follow His will, and then send us to proclaim His grace to the ends of the earth until the end of the world. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.